Thanks so much, Lise. So the issues right there, verse 40, you see, being distracted, being busy. I'm sure it's a feeling that many of us here are familiar with, being dragged in different directions. I heard this week of a medieval execution technique. Bear with me. Whereby someone's limbs were being tied to four different horses, and then you can imagine. Now, in the French, that technique was called distraction, because the root of the word distraction means to be dragged in different directions. To be dragged in different directions. Again, when it comes to our time, that is a feeling that very many of us are familiar with, as they're being dragged in different directions. I wonder what the horses would be for you. I'm sure for many of us it would be work, family, welcome. Life admin, whatever it might be. So there isn't enough time, is there, to satisfy the demands of different areas of life. And every day, it seems, we go to bed knowing there are lots of things that we haven't got done. Now, what do you do with that? How do you go to bed at night not feeling guilty about that? How do you go to bed at night knowing that you've got the right things done, given that there are many things that we can't do that demands our time? Well, I suppose here in this passage, Jesus does give his followers a solution to that. If you glance down at verse 41 with me, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one." Only one thing is needed, Jesus says. In the context of the story, that what is that? Sitting at his feet and listening to him. It's the one thing Jesus says that's really needed. Now, if you've been here the last few weeks, you will have seen that Jesus does expect his followers to be quite busy. He's given them a whole bunch of things to do. Last week, Good Samaritan, he told them to meet people's needs. Before that, he was encouraging us to be involved, sharing his message of God's kingdom with other people. He expects his followers to be quite busy. On top of the normal demands of life, we've got serving God to think about. But behind all of that here, behind all of that, behind all the other demands, he wants us to know, his followers to know, there's really one thing that's needed: to sit at his feet and listen to him. I suppose in today's language, what does that mean? Reading the Bible. Coming to Jesus to sit at his feet and read his word. So it's a very, very simple story. We're just going to walk through it, and then I'm going to draw out three truths. We'll walk through the story, and then I'll pull out three truths. So let's walk through it together. Verse 38, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem to die. He's at this stage, he's with a bunch of his followers. We don't know how many. It's at least 12. It might be quite a lot more than that. And they arrive at this house with two sisters, Mary and Martha. One sister, Mary, sits at Jesus' feet and drinks in his teaching. Martha heads to the kitchen, it seems, to be preparing all the things that need to be done. It seems that she's getting increasingly frustrated. You can imagine a situation, can't you? Everyone's sitting listening to Jesus' teaching, and the noises start to come from the kitchen. Maybe as Martha's frustrated that she's left to do all the work, maybe it starts with a passive-aggressive sigh, and then banging some of the pans and scrubbing them hard. And eventually she comes through and cries out to Jesus, second half of verse 40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." A very natural reaction, I think. But do you see what she's assuming there? She's assuming that her work, what she is doing, matters more than what her sister's doing. It's interesting, isn't it? Have you noticed how when we're busy, that so often creates in us a sense of moral superiority? Have you noticed that? How easy it is to become frustrated with people that we don't think are as busy as we are doing the things that we think they should be doing. You know how that feels, busy, rushing around, frustrated with everyone else. We've all had days like that. Maybe you're having a day like that today, full of joy-sapping, wearying, overburdened activity. And Jesus' answer to that is really quite simple. Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," he answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary's chosen what's better, and it will be not be taken away from her. That word there, better, in the Greek, it's the better portion. She has chosen the better portion, and it won't be taken away from her. Very simple story, but three things I'd love us just to pull out of that, to learn from it, I suppose. Number one, Jesus wants our hearts and more than the work of our hands. So Martha here, in the Gospels, she's not an idiot. She seems to be a lovely, wholehearted disciple. And she must have been thrilled when Jesus came and wanted to stay at her house. And she's trying to do a good thing, do all the work to care for people. It seems to be wanting to prepare a banquet. It's a good thing she wants to do. But she's assuming that that work is what Jesus will care about most. Do you notice in verse 41, that's the heart of her complaint. Do you see that? Don't you care? And verse 41, he clearly does care about her. He understands her heart, that she's worried and upset. He does care about her. What he doesn't care about is her preparing a banquet for him. What he wants here is her attention, her time, her presence with him. He wants her heart more than he wants the work of her hands. It's interesting, throughout the Bible there's different points where God will criticize religious people for doing outward acts of service when their hearts are far from him. What God wants is our hearts more than the work of our hands. I wonder, is that for you and I, is that how we think of God? What God wants from you, first and foremost, it's not your time or your money or your service, but you. Heart. He's not a cosmic boss who's some tapping his watch wanting to demand more work from us. What he wants first and foremost is us, our hearts. I wonder if that's how we normally think about God. Okay, second thing to draw out of this then. Time spent with him, according to Jesus, is better than doing anything else. Martha's a great example here, isn't she, of the urgent pushing out the truly important. Sure, if you've read on time management, you'll know what I'm talking about there. The urgent pushing out the important, the urgent task, getting the meal done, pushing out the important, really important thing of listening to Jesus. Very, very easy for that to happen in all sorts of different areas of life. But in this instance, it is crazy. Think about it for a moment. If Jesus hadn't interrupted her here, imagine if the next day a friend had come to Martha's house and said, okay, so Jesus came here yesterday. Yeah. What did he say? I don't know. Why not while I was doing other stuff? Okay, so the living God wanted to speak to you, and you chose to do something else. Crazy. That would be crazy. And it's striking, isn't it? The end of verse 42, Mary has chosen what is better. Time spent with Jesus is better than preparing a banquet for him. It is better than spending time becoming the parent of the year, or the employee of the month, or even becoming the go-to person at church that everyone can rely on, or the perfect host. Time spent with him is better than anything else. Now, for me, I find that hard to believe when I come to, you know, assigning my time for the week in the diary, because the time spent with Jesus doesn't, we don't seem to be achieving anything during it. So why is it genuinely more valuable than anything else? Well, think of it this way. As a minister, I often help people prepare for marriage, and one of the things we look at when we do that is the love languages. Is this something you're familiar with? When you mention the love languages, some people love it, some people want to puke when you mention the love languages. But there's a grain of truth, there's a grain of great wisdom, which is, I'm sure you're familiar, this idea that we all receive love in different ways. Touch, time, words, service, and gifts. And the danger is that we assume that other people receive love the way that we do. And then if we don't listen to them, we miss what truly matters to them. And I think basically the same thing is true when it comes to God. Martha is launched into serving Jesus without realizing he hasn't asked her to do any of it. And that's what we're like if we rush about organizing our time without first sitting at God's feet and listening to him, allowing him to reset my priorities, to empower my efforts, to direct my energies. He shows me how to be the colleague, the friend, the family member that I really should be. I got married quite young, and I remember an older, wiser Christian pulled me aside and said, look, if you want to be the best husband, the most effective thing you can do is read your Bible every day. The most effective thing you can do is read your Bible every day. Or a businessman at our church once said to my boss, he said, if I spend time with the Lord each morning, I'm less anxious and I make better decisions. It is a terrible use of my time to skip my time of Bible reading and prayer. Time spent with Jesus is better than preparing a banquet room. It's better than time spent doing anything else, according to him. Final thought. He wants us, it seems, to receive before we achieve. The primary thing Jesus wants us to do each day is to sit and receive from him, rather than achieve anything for him. Now, I just think it would be a huge shame for Christians to hear this and to go away thinking, okay, time spent with Jesus, that's another burden that I have to squeeze into the diary. It's another demand on my time to squeeze into the diary. Time spent with Jesus is time that we receive. A London-based preacher from years ago, Charles Spurgeon, he once observed, an exhausted man never finds it a burden to collapse into a chair. You know, an exhausted commuter after a long day never finds it a burden to collapse into bed. Or a fractious toddler never finds it a burden to fall asleep on his mother's lap. It's not a burden to listen to Jesus. Time with him is time that he restores us and reshapes us and refreshes us. He wants us to receive before we achieve. And just in that regard, that does reflect the very heart of the Christian faith, doesn't it? The heart of the Christian faith is not that we achieve things to earn God's favour, but that we receive his forgiveness because of what Jesus has done. And that dynamic, Jesus is saying that the most important thing we can do each day is a reflection of that, not to achieve, but to come to him and receive. So, question, do you think of reading the Bible as time spent receiving? And that's the heart of it. It's not time that we achieve some service to God, it's time we receive from him. So there are three thoughts, three lessons. He wants our hearts over the work of our hands, but time spent with him is better than doing anything else. And it's about receiving, not achieving. Now, I listen to a business podcast called the Manager Tools. You may have heard of it. It was the number one business podcast for like 15 years. And they say lots of interesting things. But when they talk about time management, they have a little mantra. They say, there's no such thing as time management. There's only priority management. You can't manage time. Time just goes. You can't change it. It just goes. The only thing you can manage and change is your priorities. It's kind of an annoying way of putting it, but they're onto something. When it comes to managing our priorities, Jesus would say to us, there is really one thing. There's really one priority that matters more than any other each day. With all the competing demands of our time, one thing that's needed, that we sit at his feet, read our Bibles and pray. And if I've done that, I can go to bed confident. Whatever else I haven't got done, then in God's eyes, I've done the most needed thing. Shall I pray? Jesus, thank you. It's so striking your compassion here for Martha, that you know that she's worried and upset about many things. You understand the pressures that are on her, the ways that she's dragged in different directions. But thank you so much that you do provide for us here. You do tell us that really behind all the other demands there's this one thing that's needed. Help us to treasure time with you. Help us to see it rightly and to approach you each day to receive what we need. Amen.
Amen. Nick, thank you very much.